everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy that airs every Friday night here on KCRW. And tonight, it's odds and ends night, just some various things that have piled up, leftovers from shows and things that don't fit into any sort of category that I've been meaning to play for you, little delights. I think it's going to be a wonderful show. We're going to start off with something sent to me by a listener by the name of Jason Whitman. And it's it came after the Danny Kaye show that I did. I got a message that somebody had some more Danny Kaye stuff that I didn't have that I might want to have, and indeed he was right. These are taken from 78s. The sound is totally atrocious, but the material is delightful. It's Danny Kaye doing two numbers. We'll be hearing the Nightmare song from Iolanthe and the Policeman song from Pirates of Penzance, and you may hear some new lyrics. I'm not completely sure. I assume that these have been updated in a few instances, and most probably by Danny's wife, Sylvia Fine. So let's get on with that and hear these from, oh God, it must be from the 40s at some point. Danny Kaye doing Gilbert and Sullivan.
When you're lying awake with a dismal headache and reposes to boot by anxiety, I conceive you may use any language you choose to indulge in without impropriety. For your brain is on fire, the bedclothes conspire of usual slumber to plunder you. First your counterpane goes and then covers your toes, and your sheet slips demurely from under you. Then the blanketing tickles, you feel like mixed pickles, so terribly sharp is the pricking. And you're hot and you're cross and you tumble and toss till there's nothing twixt you and the ticking. Then the bedclothes all creep to the ground in a heap and you pick them all up in a tangle. Next your pillow resigns and politely declines to remain at its usual angle. Will you get some repose in the form of a doze with hot eyeballs and head ever aching? But your slumbering teems with those horrible dreams that you'd very much better be waking. For you dream you are ill, having swallowed a pill that was made out of ossified onyx. And the doctor you found, he is traveling around on a subway that's bound for the Bronx. Oh, you must find him fast as the hours go past. You're convinced you are headed for tragedy. For you saw him on Sunday, felt much worse on Monday, and here it's the following Saturday. You're full of suspicion, that traveling physician, he fed you some stuff with a barb in it. So you dash to the street while you frantically eat a souffle made of sodium bicarbonate. To a druggist you rush, but he gives you the brush, saying, who let this asthmatic aspirin? Though you plead with a villain, you need penicillin. He won't even give you an aspirin. Then a pill on the shelf leaps down by itself and it lands on your head like a lead post. You suddenly awake and no wonder you ache. You've been hitting yourself with a bedpost. You're a regular wreck with a crick in your neck and no wonder you snore, for your head's on the floor and you've needles and pins from your soles to your shins and your flesh is a creep and your leg is asleep and you've cramp in your toes and a fly on your nose and some fluff in your lung and a feverish tongue and a thirst that's intense and a general sense that you haven't been sleeping in clover. But the darkness has passed, and it's daylight at last, and the night has been long. Ditto, ditto, my song. And thank goodness they're both of them over.
When a felon's not engaged in his employment, omituting his felonious little plans, his capacity for innocent enjoyment, is just as great as any honest man's. Our feelings we with difficulty smother, when constabulary duties to be done. Taking one consideration with another. A policeman's lot is not an happy one. Ooh. When constabulary duties to be done. A policeman's lot is not an happy one.
Happy one.
When the enterprising burglar's not a burglin'. When the cutthroat isn't occupied in crime. He loves to hear the little brook a gurglin'. And listen to the merry village chime. When the coster's finished jumping on his mother. He loves to lie a basking in the sun. Taking one consideration with another. A policeman's lot is not an happy one.
Ooh,
when constabulary duty's to be done, to be done. A policeman's lot is not an happy one.
Happy one.
When the drunkard shows no sign of where the drink went.
Where the drink went.
He nobly bids all alcohol farewell.
All farewell.
When the juvenile delinquent to the clink went.
To the clink went.
He hung his mother's picture in his cell.
In his cell.
When the card sharps finish wiping out his brother.
Out his brother.
He buys a rattle for his little son.
Little son.
Taking one consideration with another.
With another.
Policeman's lot is not an happy one.
Whoa.
When constabulary duty's to be done, to be done. A policeman's lot is not an happy one.
Happy one.
And there you go, a couple little very rare treats from Danny Kaye singing Gilbert and Sullivan. Recently, there has been in the news quite a bit of hubbub about Garrison Keillor's departing A Prairie Home Companion. But that came as no surprise to those of you who are regular listeners of this program because, you'll hear a brief excerpt from an interview that I did with Keillor back in September of 85. In which, you'll hear what he says. And then we'll lead from that into a very brief piece of his discussing Flag Day, which happened just recently. And so let's press on with it. Had you been listening back in September, you would have heard the news well before it hit the press, in which, here we go. You're still a relatively young man, considering your accomplishments to this point. Do you have any unfulfilled ambitions?
I want to live in a country where they don't speak English. And I want to do that for a while and learn another language. I have lived in Minnesota all my life, and so of course I've lived in America all my life. I haven't really gone far beyond this country, and I think America is so isolated from other people, and it's bad for us as individuals. I have an urge to get out of the Midwest and live in some strange place and have to learn a strange language.
Like New York, for instance.
No, farther than that. And then I think if I went and did that and lived where they didn't speak English, I'd probably start writing a wonderful book about Minnesota and write the book that it really is worthy of.
Tomorrow is Flag Day in Lake Wobegon. I don't know if it's observed here in the cities, but it is in Lake Wobegon. The Chamber of Commerce still has some flags on the poles with the nails at the end you can stick into the ground out in front of your house. You want to see Dwayne down at the Feed and Seed, or stop by Skoglund's yet this evening and pick up yours. I believe that is all that they do on Flag Day, is just fly flags in Lake Wobegon. I can't really think of what else you could do on Flag Day. Though they did used to do more. It seems to me I heard that back in 1936, about 400 people in Lake Wobegon put on red, white, and blue caps, and they formed what they called a living flag out on Main Street. The problem was that there were so many people in the living flag, there weren't many people left over to appreciate it. But they did it. I think it was the idea of a traveling cap salesman who came through town. But Yalmer Inkvist more or less organized it. And he didn't see why anybody should have to see it. He thought it was a patriotic thing, and it should be enough for people just to realize that they were a part of the living flag. But As they were standing there on Main Street, of course, somebody broke ranks, and they said, "Excuse me, I'll be right back," and they went and ran up on the roof of the central building right there, and they stood up there and looked down on it, and they said, "Oh, it's beautiful. You ought to see it." And then, of course, everybody had to have a look. It took hours. One person at a time, leaving the living flag and running up to the roof of the central building up there and looking down at it and admiring it. And, of course, after a while, the people who had already had their look were saying, "Okay, that's it now. We can go home." And the people who didn't have a look were saying, "Hey, hold on now. We didn't get our chance." So every single last one of them had to go up there one at a time. And tempers were running short. And the living flag was becoming sort of a sitting and kneeling flag. It was a warm June afternoon. Until finally they came down to Mrs. Quigley, who was the last one. And they said, "All right, go now, Mary. Go now and make it quick." And she said, "Oh, no." She said, "I don't want you to go to any trouble on my account." She said, "I don't need to." They said, "Go look at it. Go look at the flag, would you now?" She said, "Oh, no. I've seen flags before, and I don't need to look at this one." The whole lower right-hand corner of that flag grabbed her, and they hustled her up the stairs and up on the roof of the central building, and they leaned her out, and they made her look down at it. And then, of course, somebody thought they would run home and get a camera. So that's why they don't do much for Flag Day anymore in Lake Wobegon, but they will be flying the flag tomorrow.
There you go. That's just a brief excerpt from the work of Garrison Keillor, who will be sorely missed, by the way, on A Prairie Home Companion. Let's see, what else? So there's always a number of things that I want to tell you in the middle of these programs, and I'm always so cramped for time that I don't have time. A couple things that I should point out as far as television are concerned. Comedy on television is brightening up a little bit with a couple little developments regarding old shows. Barney Miller is back on Channel 13 at 6 o'clock Monday through Friday. They are to be applauded for that. However, they are not necessarily to be applauded for starting the series 2 years into it, but still, it's a good gesture, and I'm glad that we get a chance to see Barney Miller again, because it really was a wonderful show. If you missed it when it was around originally, as I did, it's terrific to see it now. It really was a marvelous show, as also would be indicated by my interview with Danny Arnold, which you may or may not have heard here. Also, speaking of classic television, the Nickelodeon Network, if you get cable, is running, beginning on Wednesday night, they'll be running every night, episodes of Car 54, Where Are You? I haven't seen them in years and years and years, but they were put together by the creative team that gave us Sergeant Bilko, and I have seen those recently, and those certainly hold up and are quite wonderful. And I would expect that there are quite a few very good laughs to be had from the Car 54 series. I'll keep you posted on that. But that's going to be every night, twice at night, something like at 10 and again at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, so it's one of those VCR shows. Anyhow, let's press on with some of the work of Mo Moskowitz. If you are a regular listener to Morning Edition, you hear Mo Moskowitz, a.k.a. Robert Kaplow, who is in real life a mild-mannered school teacher and author of young people's books and other things, and in his alter ego as Mo Moskowitz, who absolutely terrorizes the Morning Edition staff. And because of the hearings, we haven't really been able to hear some of Morning Edition, unless, of course, you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to listen to it. So here are a couple of the more recent Mo Moskowitz pieces that you might have missed.
Uncertainty among members of the Writers Guild and talk of a director's strike, Hollywood has begun to worry about how it's going to come up with enough material for the coming season. Will screens go dark across America? What will happen if...
Yeah, we got a registered package here for Bob Edwards.
Excuse me, we're on the air.
Oh, sorry, could you sign here?
Well, this is a new twist. Two gentlemen are bringing a large coffin into the studio. What's going on here?
Good morning, Bob. I thought I'd never get that lid open. Good morning, everybody. Here, y'all fellas, go out and buy yourself a nice pair of shoes, right? It's me, Bob. Mo Hollywood Moskowitz. You have to excuse me, Bob. I'm traveling incognito. Yes, I'm back writer, director, a sort of a one-man Metro Goldwyn Moskowitz.
What's that you're eating?
What do you think it is?
Looks like Elmer's glue.
Not exactly, Bob. It's my new low-cal diet dessert, Moskafooty.
I know a girl, she's a regular cutie. Stays in shape, eating Moskafooty.
Moskafooty, well,
But I'm not here for cheap self-promotion, Bob.
That's reassuring.
I'm here to talk about my new screenplay. I'm a writer and a director now, Bob. You don't have to worry about strikes with Mo Moskowitz. I've got enough material here for 10 flops. Look at this here, Bob. 900 pages long. Family sagas, wars, famines, locusts. It's got nothing to do with any of that, Bob. This picture's about Hollywood.
I like your sense of social consciousness, Mo.
Well, yeah, I'm a very sociable guy. And I'm introducing a new genre of film, Bob. It's called comedy you don't laugh at. Instead, you just tap your pipe to tobacco down a little bit. You smile wryly at the screen and you say, oh, that was very droll. Wasn't that droll? Did you see that? Wasn't that droll? What do you think, Bob?
Sounds droll.
Oh, listen to the first scene I'm directing, Bob. The hero, this really likable guy, he's taking his band across the country, right? And they stop at a little Texas nightclub to play. Look at these original country western style song titles I've got here.
Mothers, don't let your sons grow up to be lawyers.
Oh, it's based on an authentic backwoods television commercial, Bob.
Wear a hat and drive a truck and spend all day in a plumbing supply store.
Spend all day in a... You know, this is the first draft, Bobby. I'm changing everything, and most of the picture's going to take place in a circus or on Mars or in Vietnam. I haven't worked the whole thing out yet. Am I a great director or what, Bob? And they laughed when I sat down to play.
Then you played, and they really laughed.
It's Moe's rule, Bob. When the material's not so great, you just put in another rim shot. All right, enough already with that. So Mo goes to Hollywood, right? And the first night he's there, he discovers this new Latin American singing sensation. Guy calls himself Julio Reverb.
This song goes out especially for the girls out there. I am just a Julio. No, please, more reverb, Grant, please. I'm just a Julio, and everywhere I go. No, more reverb. We need more reverb here. Plenty of reverb. I'm just a Julio. We simply don't have enough reverb here.
Bob, what do you think?
I think you need more reverb.
It's what you call high concept, Bob. Not only can you summarize this entire movie in one sentence, you can summarize this movie in one word.
What one word is that?
Moskafooty!
Oh, well, Moskafooty, well,
But what about the girl? Every picture's got to have a girl.
Oh, no problem. She's a script editor. She's working on a smash TV series, Tales of the Expected.
Stories of ordinary things happening to ordinary people.
Oh, look! The phone bill came.
I think you might get an Oscar for that scene, Mo.
Best receding hairline?
Best supporting hosiery?
Sounds good, but like all the movies I'm going to direct, this is a message picture.
What's the message?
The message is more reverb. We have got to have more reverb. Just kidding, Bob. The real message is que sera sera, which is Spanish for pass the Moskafooty.
Oh, well, Moskafooty, well,
I've got to run, Bob. But before I do, I've got one more idea. We have any more time left in this segment?
No.
It's okay, we'll run into the news. All right, I was talking to your director, Loretta Williams, today, Bob, for a couple of ideas I've had about Morning Edition. I want to warm the show up a little bit. You know, give it sort of an entertaining, grand old Opry kind of feel. Here, I got a new script for the opening. You're going to love this.
I've only got one line, Mo.
Yeah, but it's the most important line in the whole script, Bob. The whole thing falls apart without that line. Are you ready? Morning Edition is going to sound like this. Howdy, folks in Radio Land. This is your Uncle Mo. Thank you, Zelma. Today is insert local date, and boy, we've got a show. How's the kids? How's the folks? And how's that back condition? Mm-hmm. Today's the birthday of Minnie Pearl. This is NPR's Morning Edition. Okay, Bob, get ready with your line.
The news is next.
Wonderful line reading, Bob. You know, as a director, confidentially, I cried. I really did. To think both of our careers have sunk this low, it's just real tears, Bob. Just kidding. Listen, Bob, gotta get out of here. Gotta get back in the coffin. This is director Mo Moskowitz for National Public Radio. Okay, boys, shut the lid and send me off express mail to Hollywood!
And there you go. That's a recent piece that aired just a couple weeks ago on Morning Edition here. Unfortunately, it was at very early in the morning, so most of us didn't get to hear it. As far as Robert Kaplow's credits are concerned, he has a book out called Alex Icicle. And also, he wants me to make it known to those of you out there who are movie moguls or mini moguls or baby moguls that there is now, just hot off the presses, a Mo Moskowitz movie script by Bob Kaplow called the Do-It-Yourself Big Hit Movie. And if you are actually a credentialed mogul out there and would like to see it, drop me a line, Bob Claster at KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California. I'll forward your request on to Robert Kaplow. And we'll see to it that you get a chance to read it. After all, if there's a director's strike, you're going to want to be doing a lot of reading because you're not going to be doing a lot of movie making. Anyhow, let's get on with it and hear one more piece of Mo Moskowitz.
This is a story about nightmares coming true.
Oh, did somebody mention my name? Good morning, Bob. Yes, it's me again, Mo Moskowitz, professional radio personality and pool maintenance consultant.
Been seeing you for a while, Mo. What you been doing?
Ah, busy, busy, Bob. There aren't enough hours in the day. What with walking to the mailbox and staring into space. For me, Bob, life is just a series of endless possibilities.
So, you still don't have a job?
Well, I've got what you call irons in the fire, and I've got an idea now that's red hot. I'm reworking Morning Edition. Got a new concept for the show, Bob. Liven it up a little bit. You know, here, look, I want you to read this proposal.
The NPR Morning Zoo.
Oh, it's a completely new format for Morning Edition. Now, it's a wake-up show. No more slow stuff, Bob. Everything is 80s. Fast. Supercharged. You've heard of radio that's like a bracing cup of coffee in the morning, right? Well, this is radio that's like a boiling cup of adrenaline thrown in your face.
That's an appealing image.
Oh, here, look, I got it all scripted out. Want you to hear what it's going to sound like. Let me run it down. You ready?
I think so.
Now we got to wake people up, Bob. This is radio at 90 miles an hour. Now, are you ready, Bob?
Ready.
National Public Radio takes no responsibility for the following program.
Play some music!
Hi, I'm Linda Wertheimer. Come on, Bob Edwards, play some rock and roll.
This is Mo.
And this is Bob. Come on, America, time to get out of bed.
All right, what's your favorite radio network? Bob, what have we got this morning on the Mega Morning Music Marathon?
Mo, we've got a song sent in by two listeners from Levittown. Let's see if it's a hit or a flop.
Well, we hope you'll give this song its debut. It cost us $700 to do. And we really love the Morning Zoo. And we're living here in Levittown.
Well, audience.
Let's take a break, Bob, for Trafax Over America, brought to you by Doctors Bess and May Mucho on the NPR Blaupunkt system. And what's going on up there today, Mark?
Traffic was pretty good, Over America. We've got some minor delays along the upper deck of the Crossbars Expressway as far back as Santa Monica Boulevard. And over by I-80, we've got some rubbernecking delays as motorists strain to get a glimpse of the huge banner flying behind my helicopter. And the banner reads, "Win big money on the NPR Morning Zoo."
This portion of Trafax is brought to you by the Oyster Creek Restaurant, right next to the Oyster Creek Nuclear Reactor on Route 9 in Catskan.
Remember, Monday is Mud Wrestling Night.
Oh, and this Monday, NPR's Noah Adams wrestles the cast of All My Children in chocolate fudge.
Outrageous!
And don't forget their 50-cent hot dogs.
And while you're over by the reactor, stop by Vincent Van Gogh's Appliance Madhouse. He's gone Geiger counter crazy!
Hello, I'm Vincent Van Gogh, and nobody beats my prices on Geiger counters. TDK X60, $225. TDK X62 with early warning flasher, $422. With compact display, $522. Come on down. Thank you. I love you.
It's potty time at the zoo, and here's Bob with some birthday greetings from the zoo.
Happy birthday to Aunt Florence from all the family in Portland. We wanted to give you something warm and personal, so we're having a stranger read your name on the radio. And finally, happy birthday to Fred of Salt Lake City, who thinks that these birthday greetings are all fake. Editor's note, this one is a fake.
Hi, I'm John Hockenberry. Come on, Bob Edwards, play some rock and roll.
And we've got a request here from the head librarian at the Folger Library and all the girls on the third floor. They want to hear the Banana Boys' Hamlet rap.
To be or not to be, that's got to be the question.
Vengeance.
To be or not to be, that's got to be the question.
And the boys said,
whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea of trouble and fight opposing and then.
So he said,
to be or not to be, that's got to be the question.
NPR Morning Zoo, I'd like to talk about the new tax laws.
Sir, this is a morning wake-up show. We don't give financial advice.
You don't? No wonder nobody listens.
Tonight on Superstation Channel 9, get out your handkerchiefs, because here they come, the Rabbis of Cherbourg.
Things are getting out of hand, Bob, but tell me honestly, what do you think of my new format for Morning Edition, the NPR Morning Zoo?
It seems a little vacuous, Mo.
Well, yeah, this is a first draft, Bob. You know, it's,
Seems staggeringly superficial.
It's very fast, Bob. You know, it's hard to get all the jokes. Just tell me, what do you really think?
To me, it's filled with empty noise and pointless, misdirected energy.
Well, that's right. You know, you're right, Bob. That idea stinks, but I've got 100,000 more. Do we have any more time in this segment?
I don't think so.
Because I got a thing here in the trunk, Bob, I want to show you. Bonsai children. Just like those little orange trees, you know? They stay little forever. You have children, but they never turn into teenagers who hate you.
Save it for next time.
Well, all right. Bonsai children, remember, you heard it here first. Gotta run now, Bob. Gotta prune all those kids. This is Mo Moskowitz and the Punsters for National Public Radio. Okay, roll the credits.
Guests of the NPR Morning Zoo travel courtesy of Receding Airlines.
We haven't been on time yet, but where are you going that's so important?
Again, if you'd be interested for strictly professional reasons in reading Robert Kaplow's movie script entitled The Do-It-Yourself Big Hit Movie, write to me, Bob Claster, at KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. You can write to me for other reasons as well. Now, let's bring up some other music here. We don't really have time for the theme music, but this is something that I wanted to include in today's show, but there really wasn't much time for it, so we'll have it on under my final comments here. A couple other things I wanted to mention. First of all, there's a terrific book out about Saturday Night Live. I obviously cannot vouch for how accurate it is. I don't think anybody really can. But at the risk of annoying Harry Shearer, I recommend that you check out this book. It's been keeping me up late at night, and it's terrific. It's just called Saturday Night, and it's now out in paperback. In case we did annoy Harry Shearer, we can probably get on his good graces by letting you know that Harry Shearer, along with Paul Krasner and Peter Bergman of the Firesign Theater, are appearing this week and next week, I think, at the Museum of Contemporary Art downtown. You look into that on your own, but that's just a tip for me. That should be a great deal of fun. I think they're calling the show Peter, Paul, and Harry. What you're hearing in the background here is a record that's just come out called Hey Rocky, which is a rap record using the voices of Rocky and Bullwinkle. An unauthorized record, as I understand from June Foray, but it's still actually very clever. It's out under the name of Boris Badenoff. So that's about it. Next week we'll be listening to a 4th of July material in our annual Christmas show. And so until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.